to be in church this morning. Praise God. Been glad to be here. Glad to come and see all of you again. And this morning I'd like for you to turn to John chapter 1. We're all going to speak on Jesus here this morning. And so I'm going to read the shortest version of the Christmas story. Amen. It says here in John chapter 1 and verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh." Amen. That's the shortest version of the Christmas story. And you may be seated here today. Praise God. And it tells us before here, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Praise God. The Word became flesh. Praise God. And whenever I was thinking, I got to meditating about this verse here, "The Word was made flesh." And my mind went back to my friend Jacob back here, got married a few weeks ago. And he called me one time and he said, "Well, Titus, I want you to be in my wedding." I said, "Well, all right, I'll be there." He gave me a suit. But every few days, he'd call me again and he'd say, "Well, you got that suit hemmed?" "Yeah, I'm getting it, Jacob. I got it. I gave it to the lady last night. It's going to be there." Amen. Finally, I got it hemmed. I gave my word I was going to come. But that word never became flesh till I stepped through the doors of that church. And whenever Jesus Christ said, here it says, "The Word was made flesh." What it truly is saying there is every promise that the Bible tells us about that Jesus Christ was going to do, that Word finally became flesh when He came down to this earth and He stepped down and He became a man on this earth. Every time that the Bible said there in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 that one of these days there's going to come one that's going to crush the head of the serpent, that Word finally became flesh. And Jesus Christ came down to this earth and He crushed the head of the serpent. Amen. When Moses said there's going to come a prophet like unto me of your brethren, unto him you will hearken, unto him you will hear. That Word finally became flesh when Jesus Christ came to this earth and He looked around and He knew who Nathanael was sitting under the fig tree. That was a prophet, wasn't it? Amen. He knew all of, he had the power to foretell. He had the power to see what was going on around. He had the power to see what was going on in the future. He was a prophet unto God. Praise God. And here in Luke chapter 4 and verse 17, it says, "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.'" And he closed the book. He gave it again to the minister. And all the eyes of everybody there was fastened upon him. What did he say then? "This day is this fulfilled in your ears." But you know what he was truly saying there? That Word has finally become flesh. Praise God. All of those prophecies, every time some priest stood up in the synagogue and read out of Isaiah and told about that one that was going to come that could preach deliverance to the captives, that Word has finally become flesh. That's what he was saying there. And I believe here today we have a powerful Christ, don't we? We have a merciful Christ, don't we? Still today, whatever promises was in the Old Testament, He still has the power to fulfill them today. Don't you believe that? Every word, every promise. Amen. I believe Jesus Christ can meet every need this morning. If you call out to Him, He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." Hey, what's the next part? "I will give you rest." He still has the same power today. And I believe we're serving a powerful Christ. And I want my brother to tell us a little more about this.
How many's glad for Jesus today? I had a verse on my mind, and in Isaiah 9 and verse 6 it says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called," what? "Wonderful." Why is Jesus wonderful? Is your Jesus wonderful today? My Jesus has been wonderful to me. You see, for he came to this earth just for you and me. He came so that he would die on an old rugged cross just for you and me. He's wonderful because of his sympathy for sinners, because of his humility, his meekness, his patience, his wisdom, his conduct, and his courage. My Jesus is wonderful today. At age 12, he was already confounding the teachers at the synagogue. Why? Because my Jesus is wonderful. He turned the water into wine. This was his first miracle. Why did he do it? Because he was wonderful. Jesus healed the blind. Jesus healed the leper because he was wonderful. He was the one who could boldly say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Jesus was the one who could say, "I am the way." Why? Because he was wonderful. There's many things that Jesus has done, but he has never misdiagnosed a case. My Jesus has never charged a patient. You see, it never mattered how poor the person was in the Bible. It never mattered how rich the person was in the Bible. My Jesus came to right where they was, and he met their need. My Jesus, he has never wrote a wrong prescription. My Jesus never has a waiting line. It don't matter what time of the night it is. It don't matter what time of the day it is. It could be right in the middle of rush hour, and my Jesus is right there on time for you. You ain't got to have a waiting line for Jesus. You can come right to him today. It don't matter what time you need him. It don't matter what you need from him. My Jesus can come right to you. My Jesus has never hurt a patient. My Jesus has never turned down a house call. He can come right where you are. We have a man in our church got saved in a chicken house. He can come to make a chicken house call if he needs to. He can come right where you're at any time, and he can meet what you need today. Jesus never requires a returning visit. We have chiropractors, different things today. They'll say, "Well, you come back in a couple weeks, we'll do a little more." But Jesus, he can do it right the first time. You ain't got to keep coming back and keep getting deliverance again and keep getting deliverance again. But he can deliver you the first time. He can heal you the first time. He can forgive you of sin the first time. It don't matter what the need is, Jesus can do it the first time. And I'm so thankful for that. You see, I heard a story one time of a man, him and his wife and his two kids was driving down the road, and a bee got into the car, and the kids was scared. They was panicking, and all of a sudden the dad, he grabbed the bee and held it for a little bit, then he let it go again. And the bee started flying around again, and the children started screaming again. He said, "You ain't got to be afraid of that bee anymore. See, I got his stinger right in my hand." And that's another reason Jesus Christ is wonderful, because he came down to this earth, and he took the sting of death right in his hand. Yeah, we may see some effects of it every now and then. It may fly by us every now and then. We get reminded of it. But Jesus has a sting of death right in his hands. And I'm thankful for that. If you go on in this verse, it says, he's the counselor, the mighty God. How many is glad you're not serving a wimp today? My God has never been a sissy. My God has never been a wimp. But my God is a mighty God. He ain't afraid to go to war for you today. He ain't afraid to go against the devil today. He's never cowered down to anything in the world, anything in the spiritual realm. My Jesus is a mighty God. And I'm thankful for that today.
Amen. We serve a mighty God today, don't we? Amen. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, it tells about Jesus. It says that his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that Jesus can save us from our sin. I was reading a story last night about a man that was a preacher in the Methodist church back in the 1900s, early 1900s. He went to Kentucky for a conference, and he's left his family at home with his father-in-law. and his family was there, and he was going to go preach the gospel there. And a week's long there, he went to there, and the Holy Ghost began to move, and they had good services and great things God done then and for him. And the story goes on and tells us that he got a phone call at the end of the week after the meeting, and he was excited to hear of his wife and tell him of the good things that God had done for them. And he saw the demons flee. He saw miracles happen. And he was waiting for that phone call. He got the phone call, but it wasn't his wife that called. And he sat there in silence as he heard this testimony of how that his mother and father-in-law's house caught on fire, and he lost all his family. All his three young boys and his wife there died in the flames there in the inferno. And he, out of tears and sorrow, began to pen these words: Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my heart with longing, keeps me singing as I go. I want to tell you here today that Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter the blow of the enemy, that Jesus Christ can give you a song in the storm. It doesn't matter what you're going through, church. And I feel like the devil has got his finger grips here and tried to wreak havoc. But I want to tell you that Jesus Christ can pick you up. He can put your feet on solid ground. It doesn't matter what you're going through. He's still on the throne, and he can't be overthrown. No matter what the devil tries to tell you, there's still hope. There's still future in Jesus Christ. Hold on to the promises.
Glory. The Bible reads these words in Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And this was that which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his paths straight." I got to tell you this morning, John's ministry was unlike a lot of preachers' ministries today. It seems like some preachers just like to focus on themselves and their own work, but John's ministry was totally different than that. It was all about Jesus. Hey, this morning in this church, it's not about what I can do or what you can do, but it's about what Jesus can do. When John started preaching, he said, "It's not about me, it's all about him. I'm not even worthy to bear his shoes, for there cometh one after me that shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." John was just the vase, but Jesus was the rose of Sharon. John was just the lamp, but Jesus is the light of the world. John was just the dish, but Jesus is the bread from heaven. It's not about us, but it's about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. So John was baptizing at the river of Jordan, and here comes Jesus to be baptized of John. John dips him in the water and comes up out of the water, and all of a sudden the heavens open up and the Spirit descends upon him like a dove. Can I remind us that before Jesus ever did a miracle, before his ministry ever really started, he had to have the Holy Ghost. And if Jesus needs the Holy Ghost, how much more do you and I this morning need the breath of God? In John 20 and 21, Jesus told his disciples, "As the Father hath sent me, so send I you. As the Father hath sent me," that's the pattern of our preaching. "So send I you," that's the command of our preaching. But Jesus knew in the days to come, whenever he had gone back to heaven, that his disciples would face difficulty and tribulation and trials. And so in the very next verse, he said unto them and breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." If our preaching is to be like Jesus's, if our ministry is to uplift God, then we've got to have the power of the Holy Ghost. Whenever Jesus went back to heaven, what was his parting words? "Ye shall receive power when the Holy Ghost is come upon you." If we're going to be a light in this dark world, if we're going to be a beacon of hope in this dark and troubled world, we've got to have the Holy Ghost. We've got to make it all about him, because it's all about Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. If you can't get excited about Jesus, I doubt your experience with him this morning. Hallelujah. Don't you appreciate Jesus? Hallelujah. He's why we're here.
Hallelujah. I love what the Apostle Peter writ by the Holy Ghost. He spoke to him the words in 1 Peter 5 and 7. You know what he said? He said, casting all your care upon Him. Who is that he's talking about? Casting all your care upon Jesus. Hallelujah. Casting all your care upon Him. For He careth for you. Hallelujah. It don't matter what you're going through this morning. It don't matter if you're sick. It don't matter if you're feeling blue. It don't matter what trial situation has you down. But let me tell you this morning that Jesus cares for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus cares for you. Hallelujah. You know how He cares for you? Well, He was in Capernaum in Mark chapter 2. It says, and He again came into Capernaum, and it was noised abroad. That's some good gossip right there. He was noised abroad that what? That He is in the house. Hallelujah. Things happen when Jesus gets in His own house. Hallelujah. Oh, there's a lot of things that come into the house of God. But hallelujah, when Jesus shows up, brother and sister, things happen. Hallelujah. You know what happened? There came four men carrying that man that was sick with palsy. Hallelujah. And there was so much about, the house was so filled because they wanted to see Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. And he preached the word unto them. The house was so filled. We know the story. But Jesus came. He tried to take off the roof where Jesus was at. And they laid that man that was sick with palsy down upon that roof. Hallelujah. And He said unto him, first of all, He said, thy sins be forgiven thee. You know what the other thing He said was? Arise, take up thy bed and walk. Hallelujah. Oh, that thing that was confining that man to that bed, that sickness, that disease that was causing that man to be confined to the bed. Now that man can control the bed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because Jesus, hallelujah, He said, arise, take up that bed and walk. Hallelujah. Don't you appreciate Jesus this morning? Hey. Luke got to talking about how that He is wonderful. Amen. Does anybody here think He's wonderful? I believe you could ask that woman, that widow of Nain, when Jesus healed her son there, raised him from the dead, what would she say? He's wonderful. Hey, you get to go down to them leprous men that Jesus made whole, what would they say? He's wonderful. Well, how many of you has been healed here today? Has anybody got healed here today? Well, look around. I see your hands all over this place. What can you say? Wonderful. Can anybody in this section say? Wonderful. Anybody else? He's wonderful. It doesn't matter what's going on in this world. It doesn't matter how powerful the stock market may be. It doesn't matter how powerful the men of this world may be. It doesn't matter who's around and what's going on. Jesus Christ is mightier than all of that. He's above and beyond anything we could ever think of. And He is wonderful. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hey, what do you guys think about Jesus today? Wonderful. Amen. Hey, when it said that in the beginning was the Word and the Word was God, that's the same term there. As whenever God sent Moses back, He said, what am I going to tell you? Who sent me? I am. In the beginning was the Word. That word was there is the same exact meaning. He said, I am. I don't need nobody to keep me here. I'm self-existent. I'm pre-existent. I existed all alone without any assistance, without anybody trying to help me out, pick me up, hold me along, give me some food to live. And I am. It says all things were made by Him. That word made there, it means made or created from nothing. Now I've seen men that can create something from something. I've never seen a man that could create something from nothing. And no matter how much man tries to finagle around, and no matter how powerful man may come in his own mind, man will never be able to create something out of nothing.
praise God. But our God, He can create all things by the word of His power. And in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, He upholds all things by the word of His power. You know, everything, every pew you're sitting on today, that very ground you're standing on right now is still held together by the very word and the power of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. I believe that He is powerful today, don't you? Y'all got something else to say? Anybody else? Come on. Praise God. Isn't it amazing what a touch of God will do? He reached down and He shaped the man out of the dust of the ground there. Just raised him up, breathed some life into him, took away all of that death. What was there in the beginning? He shaped him out and breathed the life into him. Amen. The touch of God is different. We're different than every man, every animal out there, because the touch of God came upon our life. Praise God. And here today, how many times did He touch somebody throughout the Bible? Here today, Jesus Christ still has the same power, because I felt Him touch my heart. Has anybody here felt Him? He still has the power today to touch your heart and have the power to move in your life. He has the power over every molecule in your body, and He can move it around and arrange it how He wants it to.
I was reading last night in Luke chapter 17, and it gave us the story there of the lepers. The Bible says that they cried out, Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. I mean, I wonder, amen, is that our cry here today? Is that our cry, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me? Amen. The Bible says that the Lord saw them afar off, and the custom there of the lepers, they would hold something over their mouth. And they would say, unclean, unclean, unclean. But that, let me tell you, that day they were crying something different than unclean. They were calling, Jesus, thou son of David, or Jesus, have mercy on us. And the Bible says that He told them to go show themselves to the priest. And the Bible says that while they went, they were cleansed. I want to tell you that while you be obedient to God, then your promises, then your problems will begin to fall away. The Bible says that while they went, they were made whole. And the Bible says that one came back to Him and said, Jesus, begin to worship Him, fell down at His feet, begin to worship God. And I want to tell you that that man went away whole. Amen. I want to tell you here today that you may feel like you're healed. Amen. The promises of God are coming true. But I want to tell you, if you'll worship God in the middle of your storm and worship God, amen, God will make you whole again. He was the only one that restored. If He had fingers gone, they were made whole again. If His extremities were gone, amen, God restored. We serve a God, not only a God that can break the chains, but we serve a God that can restore. And I want to tell you that God's a God of restoration here today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Worship God.
Hallelujah. In Isaiah chapter 53, we know the scripture very well about the wounds that Jesus must have received. And it tells us that He was bruised for our iniquities. Hallelujah. He was wounded for our transgressions. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. I still believe in the divine healing of an almighty God. I still believe that Jesus can still heal today. I believe He hasn't lost His power, that He's still sitting on the throne room of God, and He's still the same today as He's always been. Hallelujah. Do you believe He's still able to heal? Hallelujah. I still believe that the healer is healed. I think that Jesus is waiting with arms stretched open wide. He's ready to receive our wounds. Hallelujah. He's saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus must have been a man to receive all of those sins upon the world. Hallelujah. And think about all the cares of the life. Hallelujah. Of how much he carried all the sins of the world. How much all the cares of this life that we carry upon ourselves. How much more can Jesus carry them for us? Hallelujah. That Jesus can do all things. Hallelujah. It takes desperation to get to Jesus. You see, a lot of people today, they're just content to remain the same. They're just content to be the same they've always been in their life. They're content to live in that same old cycle they've always lived in. But there's people, every person you see in the Bible that ever got a hold of God,
whether it's the man who's let down through the roof, or whether it's the woman with the issue of blood. They had a desperation. They had to get to Jesus. They would not remain the same another day. When Jesus came by, they had to get a hold of him. They had to get to Jesus. That man could have stopped at the door. That man could have stopped and heard Jesus' voice. That man could have stopped and listened to Jesus preach. But he had to get to Jesus. He had to get to him. And tonight, today, you've got to get a hold of the Lord. You have got to get a hold of God. You cannot be content another day. You cannot be content to live with that broken heart one more day. You can't be content to live in that sickness one more day. Jesus is here. He has come by for you. Will you reach him today?
Amen. I remember one time we had a lady come into our church. Her wrist, her arm was broken about right here. It was completely pointing in a different direction than what is normal. We got her up there around the altars. We all saw what had happened. We was all pretty surprised that she'd actually come to church that night. Amen. Some of us would have went to the doctor, but she came to church instead. Well, my dad laid his hand right on top of that, where the swelling was, where her arm was broken. Hey, we got to call it out on. When we got to calling out on him, let me tell you, we saw the swelling go down right then. The next morning she came into our house. She was doing like this. Her arm was just as whole as it ever been. And I believe here today, if you call upon the name of Jesus Christ, you're going to see the same thing happen in your life. I believe here today, no matter what your problem is, Jesus Christ can touch you today. You just call upon him.
Oh, tell me, who but God can do such things as
who but God
can do.